Can I set the picture of how Devin everybody initiated knows. Leaving? They don't know this. Our fucking bus broke down. So now we're trying to get to the shows. Well, we're the headliner, by the way. And our bus doesn't even work. It's on the side of the road somewhere in like Missouri. Was it Missouri? I thought it was like even Iowa or something. We had to go to Missouri. We had to ride Kairos. With
we saw with one Kairos, the other day.
We saw the lead. Yeah, we saw the lead singer that's the in Denver. He lived.
Yeah.
Yeah, the lead
that was the drummer?
You know, that was Tyler, the drummer. Barry was the lead singer.
Barry.
Oh, yeah.
Altar right. call every night.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd have to. So the bus is broken down. Devin and I are completing the shows acoustically, just him and I. Did I play guitar?
No, Paul did.
There's no way I could have
Paul
played
did.
Guitar.
Paul was, right? Oh, yeah, because Paul was guitar tech. Yeah.
Paul?
Yeah.
Paul was guitar tech. So Paul and you played guitar.
Because I had to stay with the bus.
And you sang.
And me and Dave stayed with the bus to get it fixed. And sent y'all ahead so we didn't have to cancel the shows.
So the tour was bad. You know what I mean? Like,
I don't even remember who else was on it.
I don't remember.
Queens Club? Was that after I broke my leg? Is that when this was?
Was it?
It was in some of those times that we consider now to be the dark ages when it was tough sledding.
Were you... Lunsford, were you on tour with
Kairos? I TM'd them in Queens Club, and Senpai Ravens was on that tour maybe too.
Yeah, it might have been.
Okay. And something that was in like June or July of. Yeah, I don't know how much.
Yes, Queens Club was on it because I sat. Yes, yeah. So here's what
went
was really
on to
crazy.
Little Rock.
Yeah. So here's what's really wild. I found out the bus was broken down because I wasn't on the bus. Jess and I were driving because we had had Ruby, and so she came out on tour, and we drove her mom's Honda for like 3 or 4 dates, and I get to Columbia, Missouri, and the bus is broken down, and Jess has to go back, so her and our just beautiful little daughter drive back to Clinton, Missouri, where we were staying at the time, and I'm just standing in Columbia, Missouri by myself. And the bus isn't coming. Devin's riding with Kairos or somebody just to get to the show. And I went and had like a meal with the Queens Club guys. And Andy was in the band who eventually played in Emory for years, right? But I just remember going, man, these guys are so stupid. I was eating like I don't remember where we ate, somewhere around there. But I was lonely. My wife and kid had just left. The bus is broken down. I'm at a low point in my life. Right. Finally, Devin shows up with Paul and
we play the
Big B stayed with me
Big
and Dave.
Big B stayed with y'all. Our merch.
We played Columbia, Missouri, right?
Josh came. I think Josh came and played Columbia, Missouri, and we played maybe Springfield and then Little Rock. So I think there was 3 shows y'all missed.
I remember Lunsford played drums on a song on that one of those, didn't you? I thought you played. I thought we covered In the Air Tonight, and you came out and did the I think you did.
This sounded all like post leg break, but
I thought you did, but maybe I'm wrong.
It might have been.
Anyway, go ahead.
Everything. Always got to bring up.
Just what happened on that?
Let it go. We get it. You broke your name
on that tour we're talking about, and I prophesied over you.
You broke your femur. I'm the reason why you met your wife.
You shouldn't play shortstop. Everybody knows that.
Jeez. Yeah, you're terrible at baseball, but apparently you're a coach now for your little league team, which is the worst decision ever. No chance
all
to
your
ever
players
win
hate
anything.
You.
But
gosh.
We get it. Yeah, you hate yourself. Everybody hates you, including you. Moving on. Can I tell my story
finish
about Emory, or do we got to go back
it.
To the femur? What else? All right. What the fuck else do we need to know about the femur?
No,
just let it get it out.
Story in the timeline.
No.
I don't know if I was there.
Don't you put this on me. No, you just constantly talk about the leg break.
As long as we need
the leg break.
Lunsford's life is
shit.
Lunsford's timeline.
What more can we talk about?
His
the leg
like
break.
His is like the BC and the AD. It's before the break and after the break. That's how he defines everything.
Well, God,
it's a big deal.
That is. I bet that is how you divide your life. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's my death of Jesus. I'm just saying, you're going to insert me in a timeline, and I'm trying to figure it out. I don't think I was there, but go ahead.
Okay. I could be wrong.
I might have been there.
Are you done?
Y'all want to hear? Y'all want to hear the femur story?
It's a good story.
No, I don't want to hear it. I lived it.
All right, finish. I'm terrible. All right, go finish.
We get to so the. I mean, my life is low. I'm missing my wife and my daughter, who's very young. I mean, like a year or two old, right? I get to Little Rock. All I'm thinking about is Little Rock. What's it called?
Ooh, oh, yeah.
Yes. You know what I mean? That's a fried fish. I mean, it's so good. That's all I'm thinking. Like, the bus is broken down. Fucking Lunsford's talking about his femur or something. I don't know. My family's gone. Life is shit. We're riding with Kairos in their little,
short bus.
You know, it's like a, it's a little short bus. Like, yeah. We go eat. Me and Devin. And we go, let's walk. Devin goes, let's walk down the
nice
river.
Little river
I was
walk.
Like, oh, that sounds fun. It's like, man, this is
beautiful.
You know
beautiful.
What? Maybe things are starting to turn around. You know, right down there, the river walk. I mean, there's the bridge. Oh, my God. Great sidewalk, walking path.
Little Rock,
I mean,
very underrated.
I was like, you know what? I was like, things about to fucking change. This is cool. I'm just with my buddy. We're going to play a show tonight in Little Rock. We're making it happen. We're not losing money because him and I can carry the whole band, which we always have.
I know that.
You know that. I don't care what you say or what you've done.
Yeah.
You are nothing without us.
He knows it.
Like, your life is shit without
understood.
Me and Dad. Okay. Now, so I'm very happy. I'm fine. Finally, after 3 days, I'm like, you know what? Life's starting to look a little bit up. I'm looking at the river as we're walking. I'm like, this is fucking
beautiful.
Cool, man. I'm just
beautiful.
With Devin walking. I mean, Devin, my college friend. One of the people that I trust the most in the world. You know what I mean? Would never
forsake
me,
you.
Never let
never
me down,
you.
Nothing. We're walking, and there's a little, you know when there's a little bit of a lull.
And you know no a thought's brewing.
Yeah. But I just thought, it's a lull. Devin goes, well,
shit.
I was like, what?
I think Toby actually did say, oh, no. Oh, no. And I was like, dang it.
And he says, I think I'm going to quit the band, man. I'm going to go home. Megan and I want to have kids. And I was like,
wow.
I thought, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking, wait.
Those washed up losers. I mean,
but you understand that I'm in the band and I have a kid, right?
Yeah,
so does Dave, the drummer. He has a kid. Devin's like, yeah, just, you know, I just think it's the right thing to do, and this is what I'm going to do, and I'm going to leave the band. And I was like, shit. And the first thought I had, and this is true, I was like, fuck, I'm not saying so much. I was like, if Devin leaves, I'm going to have to sing all the time now. Like, I won't get any breaks. I don't get to move over to the bass and just shake my booty a little bit. Like, I'm going to have to sing every word of every song from here on out, which is normal for most lead singers. Yeah. But, I mean, I've been super blessed to have Devin in the band. He's been super blessed to have me, that we could, you know, trade off and we don't have to sing the whole set. And I was like, oh, man. And then the second thought was, I should probably quit, too. I mean, what in the world am I doing? If Devin's talking about quitting the band to have a kid, and I have a kid, what does that mean? You know what I mean? And you know what else? I'll say this, and this a lot of people don't know this. Joey Svensson came to me one time and was like, man, you got kids now. You probably should quit doing this touring thing. He told me that. And I was like, well, I said, but, I mean, it's my job. I said, and when I'm at home, I'm at home, you know, fully. Like, I'm at home for a month or so. So I get to see my kid and my wife more than maybe even you, because you're going to work all day. And no, he goes, nah, but I get to see him every night. I was like, oh, Lord, this is hard. little did I know what he had planned. You know what I mean? I mean, if only I could have seen the future. But so Devin quits. And how long was Devin out of the band? So he did, what'd you do, one or two more tours?
Yeah, I did a couple more. I think the last tour was that Scream, what was it? Scream It Like You Mean It.
Scream It Like You Mean It.
End of 2010. It was the end of 2010. And I was,
the end
and
of 2020.
I was out from 2011 to, and I can't, I did two runs of the Week's End anniversary. That was 13 and 14, yep, somewhere in there. And then I did, I think 15 was the full year of acoustic. Is that right?
Maybe.
I think 2015. So was I was out 15? For probably a good full 3 years, 3.5 years or something like that, at least.
And you got weird.
I got weird.
You got real weird. I mean, but you didn't really miss it, though, did you?
I mean, yeah.
What was the?
I missed it. I missed. We've talked about this before. Toby's relationships are based on.
Come on now, be gentle.
What did we say, Matt? His relationships are based on
love.
What? Almost
tenderness.
Loyalty.
Almost like physical.
No.
Location.
Don't you turn this around on me. You quit.
Look, all I'm saying is the whole time I was out, I still thought, oh, yeah, these guys are like my best friends. And Toby was thinking the whole time, I guess me and Devin aren't friends anymore.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
That's not exactly true. That's not exactly true.
It is exactly true.
No. Fuck you, Carter. Fuck you, because you know exactly what I'm talking about. Matt, you, when we would hang out with you, you were a little
different.
Well,
of course
different.
I'm a little different. I'm not denying that. I mean, I wasn't touring. And
Matt said that, not me. Matt was like, fuck that guy. And I was like, I don't know if I feel that way. But Matt was like, fuck him.
No, Devin's imagination of it is probably relatively accurate. I remember Toby feeling
like I was.
But Toby's. Well, it's the sensation to me is that if Toby's not immediately involved with somebody, like if he's not having interactive, dynamic feedback, then he's already making the argument of why there's no, you know what I mean? More point. There's nothing else here, I guess.
Right.
Like it's an insecurity that shows up really, really quickly.
Oh,
really quickly when you walk out of the room for too long.
Yeah. I like this. Well, I mean,
but he would make the arguments for what you know, like he started at some point kind of, you know, just thinking out loud about it. So is Devin this now? Is he going here? It's just all imagination. Right. Like it's just an imagination. It's like, you know, without the connection being as thing, he's just telling stories. And is Devin doing this?
Your
where's
Honor.
This going? And where it was like that kind of thing.
Right.
In my defense, Devin is one of the closest people to me in the world.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So then he leaves. So to be able to leave, it makes me question a lot about him and me. Okay. First of all, then when we would see Devin, it was like for an hour or so and he's in a new life.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I couldn't connect.
It wasn't the same connection.
You know, we couldn't be partying on the bus with Devin because he had to leave.
Well,
if
you could,
30 minutes,
if you enter and exit that touring life, I mean, of course it's going to be weird and different. I didn't think that it was just natural, but in my mind, it's like, oh, hey, I get to see my buddies, Matt and Toby. This is going to be cool. But I thought, oh yeah, well, I don't know all the inside jokes that are happening right now on the bus. I don't know everything that happened last week when they were in California. I mean, I get that there's a disconnect, but mine just goes back to the long-lasting friendship that we have had for decades. And I'm like, okay, well, we can kind of overcome all those minor little disconnections there for an hour.
Yeah.
But Toby has a harder time doing that.
My natural tendency is kind of that opposite, where it's just like I assume I'm best friends with everybody all the time, and I'm probably never see them or talk to them again. But if I did, it would be, I would think, they're back. Here we are.
Here we are.
Like, I'm not saying it doesn't take time to get back into it, but let's just say – like, if you just take, you know, Jeff from Boys Night Out, if he just happened to be around me, it would just go back to something. And that would be, I would say, yeah, of course, this is it. This is how close of friends we are. But I know we're not friends, actually, because I haven't talked to him in 15 years. So if I have to say it out loud now, I have to go, well, shit, I guess we're not friends. But before it pops into my head, I just was continuing. I was assuming that it was there. Yeah. I just hadn't thought about it. And that is similar to how I think of my family. Like, I don't think about talking to my family on the phone ever. But if my family ever comes, it's completely comfortable that it's nothing to it. It's just when I see them, it's on for the most part, minus, you know.
Right.
Like, I understand the other thing. But Toby's usually trimming that down in his mind.
Yeah.
I've learned something in the last couple of weeks about myself that is, it won't be shocking to y'all. Or maybe it will be. It's not shocking. Okay, maybe I built that up a little bit much. But I have told y'all for a long time that I've been certain my love language was touch, right? Because I'm pretty particular who I hug and who I don't. And I do think that's a component of my life. But I actually now am pretty certain that my love language is quality time. I actually think that I, like, if you take time to be with me or call me or hang out with me, it really fills me up. Like, if Lunsford called me, Lunsford never calls me. He never calls me.
Nobody doesn't want to be called.
That's not
nobody
true.
Here
that's what I'm saying.
To be called.
I'm telling you, I do.
I'll give you a
that's
call.
What I'm
I love
saying.
To talk on the phone to my friends. I really do.
I feel like every time I try to talk to you, you're ready to get off or something, or you know, it's uncomfortable. But
what the fuck are you talking about?
That's what I'm saying. I just drove across the country and I was looking to call people and I was like, I better not call Lunsford. He's probably at work or he's got his kids or his family, so I don't want to be a burden or whatever. But I was driving by myself and I was like, man, I would love to talk to everybody right now. Like, if I could just, I mean, I even called my mom and dad. That's how desperate I was. I called them and talked to them for a long time. And you know what? It was I'm telling you, my dad's a hard man. He doesn't understand a lot about emotions or anything. It was the sweetest thing he's ever said to me. I'm driving across the country. I'm in, like, South Dakota, right? I'm like, well, I'll call my dad because he's retired and he will talk forever. My dad will talk. My parents will talk forever. There's never a time where it's less than 45 minutes when I talk to them. Never. Not once. I just called them yesterday and they just both talk their asses off. My dad goes, man, I couldn't. He can't give me a compliment, but he can say what he couldn't do that I'm doing. And so it's kind of a compliment. He's like, man, I could not drive like that. I couldn't do that. Right. But he says, hey, when you drive, you know, and you're out there and, you know, he said, I'm sure you get bored or whatever. If you need to talk to somebody, just give me a call. My dad said that.
That's cool.
I was like, oh shit. I almost like started crying. I was like, fuck. My dad's like, no. I mean, I heard my dad tell me he loves me one time, and that's when I ran away. I ran away from home for 2 days, like a day and a half. And he told me, please come home. I love you, or whatever. You know what I mean? But I mean, my dad just can't do that. And I was like, holy shit. He was like, if you need me, or I'll be here for you. I was like, fuck.
That's cool.
Damn. Man, what am I? I'm 46. My dad's like 70, and we just connected while I'm driving in South Dakota. What the hell's happening?
Yeah.
So I really realized, I was like, there is something with what we're saying. Like, if I lose connection with you physically or in person, it really does throw me off. Like, I don't know what's happening more because I don't know.
You can't interpret the relationship as well.
Right.
That.
Yeah. I just can't. Like, I think, oh, well, you're doing your thing now and I'm not as important. So how am I supposed to interact with you? Am I overstepping my bounds? Like, Devin, you know, doesn't want to, in my mind, I think Devin doesn't want to be around us anymore.
Right.
I know that sounds crazy, but it's true. Like, I just think Devin goes, well, that was that. That was it. And now this is this.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, can we go?
I mean,
all the
making
way?
Fun
no,
of me,
I'm not
it's
making
true.
Fun.
It's
this
funny.
Is funny.
It's like because you can say on some level that is true, but can't
but
it
I
just
have a,
be on
also,
some level
but,
that you know, like? Can't,
but it's unfair because I have a deep longing to hang out with Devin.
Yeah,
but I have no way of figuring out how to connect with him. Yeah. I have a deep longing. I was like, man, I can't. I would wish I could connect with Devin how I haven't for you know forever. But now Devin is. Not he doesn't like us anymore. He doesn't like me. That's what I feel.
Yeah.
And so then I'm like, I feel like I'm making jokes to somebody. It's like, oh god, there's another fucking joke he's doing on the can't wait to get back to Champagne.
So
I'm getting out of here, Paul. Let's go. You ready to go, man? I got
to
get home.
I mean, I did that's drive I to Joliet like. To see you guys. I mean, that's
I know
that's a good solid 3 hour drive almost.
Yeah, I
remember big. That specifically, and I remember that. Disconnect, like, wow, all right, Devin's trying to come back into this world, but you can kind of tell Devin felt uncomfortable, and everybody else is like, "Why? Where does Devin fit in?"
I don't think it was that uncomfortable.
To be honest, I was not uncomfortable. Now there might be an initial slight discomfort if there's a couple guys that I don't know as well. I'm like, oh, okay, there's so and so.
Like Andy.
I knew Andy a little bit, but it was he's taking my spot. So it was a little bit like, okay.
But you're out. It's like you're out.
Yeah.
And it's kind of abrasive.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't deny that. There is a little bit of that tension there, like, I don't. I'm not in this anymore.
Isn't it really reasonable to say that it's like a, you know, unit, whether it be, it's some kind of unit that you're not in that is like, whether it's a cult or a military unit or a something. Do you know what I mean? It's that there's an inside and outside that is just, there's something to that.
Specific thing
that you can't, nobody can really bridge that. Like, that's just like your membership was renounced officially. So it has to be different. That's not bad, but as far as that, there is something that is different categorically, but that doesn't mean on personal levels that those things aren't still, I don't know. To me, I can slice those levels, but for Toby, clearly, is more of an all or nothing feel to in that way.
Well,
the
in-group,
out-group feel is stronger.
Right. But there's some friends, like some of our college buddies, that we actually only see maybe once a year, every now and then.
Yeah.
And you might talk to them on the phone occasionally. I don't, probably maybe a text thread on from time to time. But that relationship has never gone beyond that since college. Yeah. So the expectations are you see them once, you talk to them every now and then. But with me, it was like you see each other 24/7 to basically almost nothing. So that's, I can understand that. But for me, it's just like,
there's an ex-girlfriendness to it.
Yeah.
In a way,
yeah, there is.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean you couldn't have some kind of whatever, but yeah. Can we go back to Toby's misdiagnosed love language being, let me see if I got this straight.
Come on. This is fucked up. We need to move on to Lunsford.
Let me see if I have this straight because I need to update in my mind.
This is hurting me.
You know, you were under the impression your love language was touch, and your reasoning was because how much you hate to hug people.
I do hate hugging people, but I thought I was just I thought I was particular, so it must mean that touch. Well, I really feel that
you really value the touch.
I don't think that's how that works. I don't think that's how that works at all.
Fuck.
That big misdiagnosis all these years.
It's like over a decade. Yeah. Over a decade, I've been believing that.
Oh.
But I'm learning. Yeah. I am learning. That's what I'm saying. Like, I really do value when somebody invests with me in with their time. Mm-hmm. That does mean a lot to me. What do y'all know y'all's love languages? What is y'all? Do y'all even
I don't.
Man,
I don't have a love language.
I
don't do the Enneagram is my answer to that.
That's not Enneagram. No, but there is something to be said about how do you value friendship? Like, what is the thing that you value or
I mean,
connection
I,
with that
I mean,
person.
To me, it is obviously just verbal interaction is that's almost all there is.
That's quality time.
Yeah, yeah.
That's same
yeah.
as me.
Sure.
Yeah. Lunsford, what's yours?
I don't know.
I don't even know what the other ones are.
It's touch, quality time, gift giving.
No.
No, fuck
fucking,
no.
What's the
affirmation or something like that? Words
Service?
Of affirmation.
No, I don't like
words
that.
Of affirmation.
I don't like that.
Acts of service.
I'm uncomfortable with three of the four entirely.
I don't think the
words of affirmation, that doesn't make any sense. I don't need somebody to tell me that stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That I
some
get
people
that.
Need to hear it, but, though. I think women typically are more like they actually need to hear those things. Yeah. I think at least Megan's that way.
I don't gel.
You know
well
what makes me mad about that? When people say about women, every time they talk about women, I feel that that's exactly me. Like every time, like I promise you, if on TikTok, they'll go, "Here's what a woman needs to feel loved." It's exactly me. Like they need to say a lot of words. They always say how many more words women say than men, right? And I'm always like, that is not true for me.
No,
it's not true. I say so many more words than my wife. I mean, I just can't not. Yeah. You know what I mean?
There's like, probably there's a lot of men that are really come home and sit in their want to be in their chair and left alone, like that stereotype. Like, mm-hmm. yes. that's nowhere close to somebody like, you know, me.
But that's not me.
No.
But that is that you, is, like Devin and Lunsford. No. I don't think, Matt talks his ass off, but I mean, does Megan talk more than you, Devin?
She talks more than Devin. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, I
and Cassie is a world is a you yeah. know she's the Cassie, Joey Chestnut talking. Over there. You
she's
know,
she's the Joey Chestnut.
a word. Yeah, and Megan is Megan? In the finals every
yeah,
year.
She's,
I mean,
yeah, she's up yeah. there,
and I am too. That's what I'm saying. I could hang with them. I could talk. I could wear them out talking.
Yeah, probably. Yeah,
you know what I mean? But I mean, Cassie never runs out of work. But I mean, but I'm just the talker in our family. Yep. I got a million things to say, and I'm just going to say it. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, you and
I looked
Matt.
It up. Okay. I mean, so the love languages are words of affirmation. Is when words of affirmation is your love language, words build you up. You thrive on spoken affection, praise, encouragement. That I mean, I like a nice compliment. I think everybody does.
Yeah.
But I actually, the rarity is better. Like, if you're hearing it every day, no. But, you know, if somebody's really taking the time to go, hey, I want to tell you thank you or something like that. That yeah. means a lot. Acts of service. You feel cared for when your partner vacuums before you get to it or makes you breakfast as a surprise. I don't care about that at all.
No.
Receiving gifts, that's not anything. Mm-mm. Quality time. This is me. When your partner is truly present and not looking at their phone, it makes you feel important. Failure to actively listen or long periods without one-on-one time can make you feel unloved. Yes, that's me.
Yeah.
And then physical touch is holding hands, kisses, hugs, and other touches are your preferred way to show and receive love. Appropriate touches convey warmth and safety, while physical neglect can drive a wedge between you and your partner. I think quality time is it now, and physical touch, I do need that connection. Like, I like even my guy friends and stuff. I like wrestling or messing with you or something. Like, I'm joking around, but I like to do that or something. I don't know. It's weird. Like, even with my kids, like, I want to mess with them.
Yeah.
I got to met, like, I don't know how to, I'd rather it be jokey with touch. You know what I mean? But I don't want it to be too serious. But, like, I mean, I try to hug my kids a lot. And when I see them in the morning, I do want to hug them seriously. I'm not joking around. But a lot of times during the day, you know, even with you guys, I just want to, like, mess with you. Like, Matt, I want to pinch his butt when he bends over or something like that. And he thinks I'm being annoying and it makes him mad. You get real mad if I stick my finger, like, down your butt. Matt has a plumber's crack and I stick my finger down his butt, he only thinks I'm being mean. But I think I'm showing him love.
Well, but for Matt, I mean, he allows a lot of jokes to pass, and then there's only a couple,
and I found them.
That's
fucking cool.
One's only if you focus. If you said I'd like to put your finger up my butt, I'd let you.
Yeah, yeah, but if he's focusing, true. He can't.
If I'm doing something, just wait.
But I can't because that's the perfect time.
Yeah,
it's the perfect time because I mean, it is funny that I can do the things that get, like, because you really don't get too annoyed or things don't bother you at all.
I can block a lot out.
I found them. Like, nobody, I mean, probably your kids, maybe your wife and me can get you, like, into dad mode where you're like, ah,
oh, yeah, that's the same kids, like, the same thing.
You've hit me in the shoulder before. Like, I've done something to you. You punched me in the shoulder or something. Remember, Joel, too.
Well,
I used to get Joel bad.
To me, all this boils down to, for you, it's like a intensity and of engagement is proof of something.
Yeah, yeah. Loyalty or
and just the intensity level. And then if it drops, and also you're an extremely imaginative and creative person, and your mind goes all over land, and you can be
everywhere.
Lost in imaginative thought, right?
Oh, God.
And so you need a lot of fucking bumping and rubbing and yelling and screaming and talking and connecting. Like, you just need it all to be highly engaging and physical and all that, or else you float away. Like, you're not connected. Right. You don't feel connected. Yeah. Other people don't need that high intensity as much, but you just do.
Yeah.
To know it's real. I mean, that, you know.
Yeah. I feel like I'm even a romantic or something. Like, I just, I want the, I do want the really strong feelings with everybody. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
right.
I want the friendship, the love, the everything.
Hate.
Like,
oh, yeah,
the
hate.
You yeah, love, I want hate. The hate. Like, I'm bonded with people. When they hate something, I get to hate with them. God damn, I'm just like in forever. Yeah. Like, if you, I promise you, if you hate something and I can hate it too, I feel so connected to you.
Yeah. You're a highly tribal being, and you're in a positive little tribe, so you don't have to join the big ugly ones.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And say I live beside Lunsford, right? And the neighbor on the other side of Lunsford is doing something bad. I'd love to do something bad to that person for Lunsford or with, maybe even with Lunsford. Like, fuck that person up. Like, fuck Lunsford's neighbor up. I would do something like throw shit in their house or do something. You know what I mean? Like, do something bad. Like, let the air out of their tires, anything. Like, I promise. Yeah. Okay, so I was talking about Joel earlier, right? Joel said that there was a guy that did something bad to a girl, but nothing, not like real bad, like was shitty to her just in public, like at the whatever courtyard at Greer High School. And Joel's like, I'm gonna go let the air out of his tires. I was like, I'm fucking in, dude. I am so in. And we went and let the air out of his tires, and I just felt like so connected to Joel. Like, I just, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't care if I got in trouble or anything. Just like fucking somebody else up together with somebody meant everything to me. And I can't, what is that? What am I supposed to do? How are you supposed to stop that, though? It's probably not right. But like, I mean, because I should have a boundary there, but I don't. Like, if any of you were like, hey, this happened. Okay, let me tell you another story. Joey Svensson took advantage of me. Joey and I were on spring break from Winthrop. I went to Charleston with him, and we hung out, for 3 or 4 days in Charleston, right? We go to the Acme. You remember the Acme Club in Charleston? It's kind of like a dance club or whatever. We're dancing, trying to meet girls or whatever, and it did not work. No girls cared about us at all. And I'm just dancing, and Joey, I thought he went to the bathroom. He comes back. He goes, man, accidentally bumped into a guy. And he's wanting to beat my ass. He's outside right now. Can you come help me, man? This sucks, but we got to fight. And I was like, okay, let's go, dude. And I walked out. I walked out the club ready to fucking fight. And we get outside the club, and he goes, just joking. And I was like, what? What?
That's pretty mean.
I know. And I was like, what the? But I went. Yeah. Like, I was going to go. Yeah. I didn't see the guy. I have no idea. That's how stupid I am. That the guy was like, hey, yeah, go get your buddy. I'll meet you outside so we can fight or something. I believe, but that's what I'm saying. I'll go to the end with you. I will go to the end.
I don't understand that one at all. Just like, okay, so we're in here, right?
Yeah.
And they're out in the parking lot, right? And is that not a back door right there?
I know.
But, what's the problem?
But it wasn't like that. I just thought, you got to fight. So that's what I'm saying. I'm a friend that will go to the end with you, but I don't know how not to go to the end.
Well, you're
if
extreme,
I could learn how to not go.
Extreme short-term loyalty.
Oh, yeah.
Short-term loyalty.
No, I got long-term.
No, no, no.
Too.
You got long-term if you have the right connection with the person during that time.
But if you had been sitting with people at a bar for like 3 hours that you just met, and then anything went down, you're with them.
You're with them.
Yes.
and if you don't, you won't talk to them ever again.
I know. You're right. I might not even like them, but I'll die for them.
Yes. I mean, your level of connection is so high and quick.
Right.
Or disconnection. That's why you either love or hate somebody within minutes.
I don't understand what the hell that is.
It's high intensity stuff, and if it wasn't managed and maintained, it can be a disorder.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. If it was worse, it could be called a disorder. You know,
I mean
BPD or something.
So in some ways, you can really trust me, though. You know what I mean? But also, I might misinterpret what's happening, and I seem not trustworthy or something. You know what I mean? Like
if it was
with
toxic,
Devin,
Devin
goes, wait a minute, can't we just be friends? And I'm like, no, I would go to the ends of the earth for Devin, but also when it's just every once in a while or casual, I can't understand because it's not as strong as I
feel. There's an innocence quality to it, but it's not like you use that, like some people are that way and then they test people and manipulate and all, you know, get all kind of toxic stuff around that. And you don't, you don't have that. You're more of just the giver. It's got an innocent quality to it. It can be taken advantage of more than you, you know what I'm saying? But if it was unhealthy and you are aware of it and you use that, it can be, but it's just a, it's just kind of a outlier level of that quality. Yeah,
you're like my, kind of like my kids in a sense of like,
there's a real innocence.
A kid will walk into a room with another kid, and within seconds or a minute, they're play everything together.
Yeah,
they're just magnetized.
Yeah,
and then they if
caught
like,
up.
Yeah, so my but like one of my kids is in the class with somebody this year, and they're not in the class with that person next year. They don't talk.
Right.
When they're not in the class, I ask my kids. I'm like, "Well, did you have you not talked to so and so this year?" And they're like, "No, we don't have class together." I'm like, so they're not, you don't, they're not your friend. They're like, well, you know, whatever.
They just don't
but you know, but if they see each other, they're back. But it's just,
but
it's
Toby
similar
feels
to Toby.
That. Toby's both, but he also feels the loss.
Right.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
There's a difference there.
Right. The kids don't really feel that. It doesn't seem to be. No.
Yeah.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Lust for what are you? What's your love language? Do you love?
Do you have love? Do you even love?
Do you have
like
love
actually,
in your heart,
what do you? What is
love
to you?
I love all my friends up until the day they kill themselves.
Come on,
I'm a great friend. No, I've been. I like that we're talking about this because I've been talking to Cassie a lot about it because I'm struggling out here in Salt Lake.
Really,
like friendships? Yeah. You mean?
I'm just like, don't know what to do. I don't know where I fit in here. I'm like, shit. What? Like, who am I here? Like. Nobody, there's no, no like common ground to start at with anybody here. Like in Nashville, meet people in Nashville is pretty easy. You start connecting the dots. Usually everybody knows everybody. Like you, you run into somebody, you have some mutual or whatever music industry. And I started realizing like, oh shit, every friend I have is music industry. Like all of them. I don't have any friends that are not from that part of my life. And so I left. They either live away or I left them in Nashville. And I mean, Colin's out here, but you know, five kids and lives on a mountain and all that. Can't hang out every day. So I'm just like, what the fuck am I going to do? I don't have anybody to hang out with. I'm stressed out about it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what am I going to do? Make friends with a neighbor? Who are they?
Yeah.
What I have
a
to
new fr- a new friend is hard.
It's so hard.
Exhausting. I mean, I will say, And you probably know this, at least to some degree. I will say, if you give it a little bit of time, the community people or the people in your neighborhood, it becomes more interesting.
Uh-huh.
Does that make sense? Like, at first, it's not interesting at all. You're like, I do not care about that person across the street. But then at some point, you see something or you experience something, and it becomes a little bit more interesting, I think. I don't know how long that is for you, but for me, you know, it's like a couple of years. I'm like, oh, whatever. But then,
do you ever get to that point of that loyalty that we're talking about, like Toby? Because I feel very loyal to my friends.
Today is the all-time low for that activity. You had to be very intentional to get it. In all the past, it was at least church and religion. And then even if you were in the time of like my grandparents and Greer in the 1960s and 70s and 80s, it's like, had to be the all-time high of like meaning in life. I really believe that. They're in the Rotary Club and the church and the bridge club and the golf course and the swimming pool and the like. It was connected as fuck. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? In that generation.
Well, I guess band stuff too. You really accelerate it because you're out on tour with somebody and you're there every day doing the same thing, and it's just hang out all the time.
Right.
So normie stuff, how are you going to ever get anywhere? You're not going to be able to find stuff. You know, your neighbor might, if you like invited your neighbor over a few times, he might think it's the greatest thing ever, and you still think it's quite boring compared to the hangs that you are accustomed to.
Yeah, that sounds snobby, but I just like I don't know
it's
where
a snob. Yeah, yeah, hang snob.
One, if you even try to talk about your life, it's too hard to put context on my past and music and all that. People don't get it anyway. Whereas in Nashville, you get to, oh yeah, I was in Nashville. Oh yeah, I knew you guys, and then it's like they understand a decade.
You have the shared meaning already, and then can go from there. Right. But you, so the thing you'll probably need, in my view, in your current area, is to figure out what part of it, in what way, that it's not that like you meet people. It's like you're going to need to find a people group who can respond to you in the way that you're used to being responded to as a clown idiot. Then you'll know you're home. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like when you can find the people that like when I can find people that in my neighborhood or whatever at the co-op or something where they start to understand that I'm a stupid idiot, then I think we're on the right track. I know that's on the right. Like, you know, when it can be understood that I'm as goofy as I am, or you know, whatever. Once you can get people to, you got to find somewhere where you can show people the bad, whatever's, you know, you got to find that somehow.
Yeah. That's hard. I've been thinking, like, because I'm going to New Orleans in 2 weeks to go to a Saints game with Brian and TJ. So that's like, okay, that's a friend activity. I was like, if I could do that a couple times a year with them, and then honestly, I mean, we should do something. It's pretty ridiculous that we don't have some sort of annual hangout for
I think it'll happen.
Like,
we just gotta get to it.
So that's what I feel like I need. I need something to look. Well, I know I get to go to Vegas with this group of guys or whatever, because I don't know, something.
Yeah,
I mean, being in the band periodically cures me at least.
Y'all been on tour recently. You got more shows coming up, right?
Yeah. So. Yeah, still being in the band makes it pretty easy for us. I mean, it really does. Because, I mean, we're friends first and then, you know, business partners second or something like that. So everybody wants to hang out and get their guy time in.
But, well, I don't want to make you feel, you know, I'm not trying to rain on the potential parade here or anything, but I've lived in Monticello for 10 years. I think I'm just now starting to connect with people in Monticello.
God damn.
I think it took about 8 to 10 years for me to say that I actually care about maybe seeing that person once every now and then. I'm like, oh, okay, that'd be kind of fun. You know what I mean? Yeah. Close to 10 years. Now, I'm not trying, again, you might be quicker. I'm just saying.
I
was pretty satisfied with my current friendships, you know. It was like, okay, I'm good. I see these guys as often as I feel compelled, and it works out. But
the only chance you have to make real friends is you have to do something crazy. I'm not making that up at all. I mean, like, you had to do something that's like not where you try to just impress each other and hang out intentionally. Yeah. That will never work for anybody ever. It'll never work. It just won't. You had to do something hard or shitty or bad with people. I don't think there's another way.
Like drugs or something
That would do it quick, but I'm not saying that's the best. I'm saying, like, spend 5 years trying to do something together or something horrible, or go to war or whatever. I mean, anything that's terrible that needs doing, the people you do it with, there's no way they won't be your friends.
Yeah.
There's no way. If something bad, if you got to do something hard and terrible, the people you do it with, you won't be able to stop them from being your friends. If you go try and make friends with the nice, interesting, fascinating, rich people, and they're influential people in your area, you're a fool. That won't work. Yeah. It'll be horrible.
You know what's pretty crazy? Sorry, go ahead, Toby.
No. Well, I was just going to say, you're right, Matt, about the something that's evil. Like, so I was hanging out with Dave. We were driving across the country to Wichita, and in his neighborhood, there's a really annoying kid that, like, causes some issues, and the kid was causing some issues, and a dad saw it, went and confronted the kid. The kid started being bad to the dad, And then the dad lost his cool and held the kid down on the ground.
Like choked him or something, didn't he?
Yeah. I don't know if it was choking, but it was like holding him down. Like, yeah. I mean, really aggressive with a kid. I don't know if he was necessarily hurting him, but the kid couldn't, like, was trapped. It was holding, you know what I mean? The dad of the kid saw it, runs over, and I think he
kicked him in the face.
Kicked him in the face and, like, broke teeth in his nose.
Damn.
Right?
And they were buddies. So
they were good friends in the neighborhood, right? So everybody has their opinion on everything. You know what I mean? Because everybody in the neighborhood knows the kid and what the kid's like. But then also, so you're like, wait a minute, you can't do that to a kid. But then also, can you kick somebody in the face as opposed to, was that the right move? Like,
right.
If somebody was holding down your kid, you might do that too. You know what I mean? Like, I feel that on a certain level. But it has totally connected everybody in the neighborhood.
That's cool.
Everybody in the neighborhood is on a text thread talking about it constantly. Yeah. And one of the families might be leaving the neighborhood now.
It's actually hard for everybody.
Yeah, it's hard and it's awful. Yeah. And you're like, you have an opinion.
And
what's wrong?
How many times in that text thread you go, you know what? I don't think that's right, but I gotta say this, like that. Then you know,
right.
It's the vulnerability and the like, the necessity of things is what
right.
It's the only thing that forces people to be real. So I think real is a big part of it.
Who knows? I was gonna say too. It's crazy because we went to a couple of different like Labor Day weekend things, and you know, I'm always like, okay, well, you know, whatever, it'll be fine. So I usually take a little weed and it helps me get through it in a good way.
Yeah.
So anyway, but being in a band, you know, we're all pretty much the same. We don't want to talk about it, right? You're not going to be talking about it to somebody like, hey, guess what? I'm in a band. That never happens. So anyway, usually it comes up somehow. Megan says something or somebody says something. You're
always
in a band. And I'm like, yeah, how we play music. And then it kind of just slowly expands, you know, however far they want to take it. But it's funny because there's a certain point in that conversation to where it clicks with them, like, oh, this guy's in a real band.
Yeah.
It clicks with them, and then they get interested.
Right.
So it goes from being like, oh, yeah, cool, you play in a band, to, oh. So that happened a few times last night at this party. And it was funny because, like, I don't really want to talk about it.
Oh, you mean the party I wasn't invited to?
It wasn't
Devin had a party.
Oh, yeah.
Where was the party? Hold on, wait. It wasn't your party. Where was the party at?
When?
His house.
Where's the
party? No, today we had a thing here. You were invited.
I was not invited.
I thought it was on the thing. Megan made the event.
Wow.
See how? Oh, yeah. See, he's blaming his wife.
I thought Megan invited
everybody. You think you got problems in Salt Lake, Lunsford?
I thought Megan invited everybody. You guys were obviously welcome.
They didn't feel that way.
I'm sorry.
So
I would have told
Devin.
You. I thought you guys just couldn't come.
You're right. We couldn't come.
Toby was sitting by himself scrolling. He sees you having a party. That's how he has to find out about it.
Yeah. I apologize. I apologize.
Damn.
It wasn't intentional.
All the smiley faces and all the pictures. And the joy.
Here's what's funny, though. I thought multiple times about you during the during the planning of it. I was like, oh, yeah. I wonder if Toby and Jessica will come. I thought about that multiple times, but I just assumed you were in the event. I apologize.
Was the party today?
Yeah, it was too long. It was okay, though.
Did a lot of people
It was like
come?
A housewarming sort of thing. Yeah, 100 people.
100
100 people.
Well, Devin's a baron of Monticello. He's been there 10 years. 100 people come to his housewarming party when he moves.
Dude, that's crazy.
But no, that was Megan. Megan knows all the people. She invited 100 and some odd people to the party,
good
and they
God.
Almost
and they
all
came.
Yeah, and
holy
I was like, good God.
I'm
Lord.
So glad I didn't
So
come.
It was like a bunch of goats roaming through grass. I mean, they were eating food. Kids were destroying things in the house. Yeah. It was wild.
That's insane.
Yeah, it was wild.
Man, I can't believe that many people came.
Yeah,
how long did it last?
3 hours.
Toby's not quite in the top 100 there.
Oh, God. Thank God.
If I had invited Toby, he would have said, like, directly, he would have said, who's going to be there?
Yeah.
I'd be like, well, Monticello people. He wouldn't know anybody except us. There's no chance he would have came.
Nah, I never could have come. That would have been the worst thing in the world.
Yeah,
imagine me seeing my kids playing and me just standing there, and you have to, you're having to entertain.
Yeah, I
have
to talk to people.
I can't keep your attention.
I didn't want to put you through that.
What
hell.
I'm talking to Dale from Monticello, I got to just hang out with him and ask him about this lawn maintenance service he's doing. I would kill myself.
But
that's
we
an
went
impressive
to
a, number. That'd be like it, 1,000 in Seattle. Like if Matt Carter had 1,000 people to attend.
100
for a party.
Is crazy.
That's 100. 100 in Monticello is
too many.
That's the whole town.
Now, it was supposed to be like a come and go sort of thing. Like they come, they look around, they leave. Yeah. But, you know, probably three-fourths of those people just stayed the whole time
just
or whatever.
Hung out.
Hung.
Assholes.
Yeah. So, but my story is the night before.
Okay. You went to a party the night before?
Went to a party the night before.
The social class here.
Social. And, you know, we went over there and it was fine. I didn't know what to expect.
What
you know,
was the party? Just
it's an adult party. Yeah, it was a nice house.
So you walk in and what is it? What's the party now as an adult? Because I haven't been to one as an adult.
I mean, it's you go in, you bring, you bring a side. You know, you bring a side or whatever. Yep. You got a side.
Mac,
you got
Mac
your own
drinks.
BYOB.
Yeah. What'd you bring?
Got,
you brought some.
Yeah. Well, oh, yeah.
Brought
we brought
beer. I mean,
we brought some beer. Yeah. I brought my my go to.
Yeah.
Megan brought some drinks. But, you know, go to people start showing up. You kind of start conversation with people you don't really know very well, which is not great. That's not great.
Right.
But, you know, take a few drinks, you know, have a few drinks and
yeah.
A little, maybe
now,
a little
after you
marijuana.
Have a couple of drinks, do you start feeling a little.
Yeah.
You start.
It
you start actually,
Then you're enjoying some conversation.
You start talking
with
about
people.
Touring in California last week or something. Right?
There was a guy there
dropping.
Yeah. Well, no. I didn't. That's what I'm saying. But people know I'm in a band, and then the people, but new people that I don't know, they hear, and somehow it happens, and I'm like, yeah, and then it gets to where they're like, oh, you're in a real band.
Yeah.
And so then the questions start coming. Now, it's not like bad. It becomes a thing to where it's not a bad conversation. They're actually invested. You know what I mean? So it's like you actually get to answer kind of good questions. But the first question, this guy, he was already funny. He had already established himself at the party as like a funny guy.
He's the funny guy. Yeah.
And I respected it because I thought he was actually pretty funny.
I would have felt threatened.
There.
He gained my respect.
I would have felt threatened. Yeah.
Well, he was funny. He was hitting. It was landing. And so we get there, you know, we starting some conversation, turn on the music, gets a little live. Yep. And then, you know, we're drinking. Then they say, oh, yeah, food's ready. If you guys want some food, we go get a little bit of food. You know, you're just out there nibbling away.
What was the food? Like just
you know,
finger foods.
Chicken.
I mean,
oh, well, there was some
fingers.
Barbecue pork. There was some pork.
Okay. And how many people were at this party?
100.
No.
At this one, too.
This was probably a...
always
this
100
was,
people.
This was probably
standard.
A 50.
It's the same people.
This was probably
they
a
go,
40.
They just go.
This is a 40 to 50-person party, I think.
And is it how many 50 how many
people
in common?
There? Maybe 40.
Is there an overlap between the two?
Holy shit.
There's a slight overlap.
Yeah.
There's a slight overlap. But, so we hanging out, eating, you know, having conversation. You find out who's interesting, who's not wanting to talk.
Yep.
And this one guy starts talking, which I've met him multiple times, but he's interesting. He's an interesting guy. He says things that you wouldn't expect him to say.
Yeah,
he gets your ears perked up a little bit. So I'm listening to him. We're having a little conversation. Then the host, he's a nice guy, he goes, hey, time for the kickball game.
What?
So it's a kickball game. Adult men kickball. And I was like, okay, I guess we're going to play kickball. And the grass was kind of slippery. You know, it had rained earlier that day. I was like, this might be something. And so we go down there. He puts the bases out. He's got a big old, like, 5-acre lot. So he's got this huge. So we put the bases out. And part of the rules, you got to hold a can of beer in one hand the whole game. So that makes it quite a bit more interesting because you can't catch a ball. It's hard to catch a ball. So balls are bouncing off your chest and, you know, all over the place and trying to get them out. You know, it was fun. I had a really good time playing the kickball game.
How did you do? Did you do a home run?
I did
kick
decent.
Or anything?
No, I had a triple, couple of little shanks. You know, but it was fun. I had a good time. I was like, all right, this is okay. I'm enjoying this.
And yeah, then bringing out the kickball,
you know what I mean?
Is pretty. That's kind of cool.
It's a curveball.
Yeah.
So
you didn't know that was going to happen at all.
No, I didn't know. So that
was
pretty good. It got me going, and then. We get back up there, and I start catching conversation with the funny guy, right?
Okay, now you're in with the funny guy.
Now I'm with the funny guy.
he's murdering.
Tell us an example. Give us an example of a joke.
Yeah, like what is he? What's so funny about?
No, I don't have an example. It's just timing. He's got the
timing. It's like I'm in the room. You can't ask for an example.
You know what it is. You guys know what it is. I know how to do it.
I'm not saying he's a funny guy.
I'm not saying he's a funny guy.
Yeah, you know what it takes to pull the room. I mean, I'm not saying he's the funniest guy in the moment.
He's not the best.
How far did he push it? Was he? He was racy?
Yeah, was he like?
A little bit, not super risque. But then he brought it back to a little bit more, humble comedy.
Really?
So he brought it back in a little bit. You know, he encouraged his friend.
Self-deprecating or something,
almost encouraging. Friend encouraging, it went, you know, so he wasn't all trying to get all bashes in or anything.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, so he was playing both sides.
Well, okay. Would I have liked him though? What would I have thought?
I think you would have.
You don't think I would have felt threatened and been like, fuck this guy trying to.
No, I think he was like a sidekick guy.
He was working the
yeah,
crowd
he's not
in a
trying to
good
fight
way.
Against you in comedy.
He would have let Toby in.
He's going along with you.
Like if I so I could have played all. We could have started.
He's an encourager.
Back.
Yeah.
Wow.
You would have liked it. You would have liked that.
That was fun.
So, man, that was the guy I'm working with here. So he gets the vibe that I'm in a band, and it piques his interest. And he says, "I got to ask you a question, man."
Oh my God!
Here we go.
He's like, "When you're on that stage, and all these people are in there, and they're just listening to every word you say."
And he's like, "Do you know that every pussy is dripping?"
He goes. He goes,
is that what he has? He goes,
no, no. He goes,
sorry.
How does that fucking feel? And I was like, this is a great question.
That?
I just thought, this is a great question.
Wow.
Because he's actually searching for what that feeling is like. Like he was trying to compare it to something else.
And the whole room is going to tune all the way in and he's going to get, he's going to set
you up. Were
there
other people listening?
You know?
No. Maybe, I mean, Megan was beside me, a couple people around, not really directly, you know?
Yeah.
So,
but that's why he's the funny guy, too, because he wants that. He would love it if everybody's listening at the party.
Oh, he feels it. Yeah. So, and I was like, I said, be honest, it feels pretty good.
Wow.
I mean, it feels, I was like, it feels pretty badass.
It feels good.
I mean, you know, it's like, it's what you expect. You know, you have a feeling there's some kind of ego involved and you're feeling like you're something really special. So anyway, we had a pretty long, good conversation about the music industry. Then I find out he's a judge.
What?
A judge.
Like a judge.
Wow.
I'm like,
well, judges
I've been talking
are funny.
To a judge the whole time?
That makes sense. Socialite.
Yeah. And that's what I thought. I was like, this is the first judge I know.
Devin's in that Monticello scene with the judges and the musicians and the artists, and they do these 100 people party that 30 stay and it turns into a swinger party at night. I guess
it's unbelievable. Yeah,
3 years from now,
can you
Alex
Jones will show up talking about
it. I didn't realize it until last night. I was like, I guess I have a judge friend.
That means he might could get you out of like a ticket or something.
Yeah, he's on traffic stuff over in Urban, not in a Monticello. He works in your town. But anyway, he maybe
wish
get
I knew
on.
Him. Oh, man, go there only I could have gotten an invite to the fucking party.
But he was cool though because I was asking. Of course, that piqued my interest.
Right.
Then I go into all these questions to him. Right. Like I'm actually interested in what you do.
What's the most you've ever sent somebody to? Right.
No, he's like he was telling me about his current case and he has to make a ruling and how long and all this stuff. He's like, these are the things I'm thinking about taking
he's
into
a
account.
Judge?
Yeah.
They make unreal money. And
I guess
really,
so.
You know what I mean? They're like
they're very powerful.
He was telling me some kind of crazy stories. And I was like, man, that's so crazy. And so I kind of looked at him the way he was looking at me. So it was kind of an interesting
I would never think of a judge as a funny guy.
I would.
Wow. I guess, how old was he?
He's probably about my age, maybe mid-40s.
Those judges on TV are so funny, though.
Oh, yeah.
I know. Oh, I bet he's pretty funny.
Yeah.
They got personality. Yeah. But it was interesting, though, and it made me respect it a little bit because he was like, you know, I try to teach these young prosecutors, like, you can't just believe a cop. I mean, they're not always, why are they going to be more honest than a regular person, a civilian?
Yeah.
He's like, you got to listen to both sides. You got to understand where they're coming from. You got to, you know, and I was like, man, you're so awesome. I was just like, I was into him and he was into me and it was just a click.
You get his number?
No, I didn't. I thought about it. I thought about it. At the end of the party, I thought about it. But I got connections. That is so hard. I got connections.
That is so hard when you meet a dude that you like. You had got to ask for their number. Like, how do you, you know what I mean? Like, how do you do that?
If you could figure out if he plays golf or something, like, hey, where do you play? I need somebody to play.
Well, and we got you know, friends overlap, so I could find him out. Yeah, we got the scissors.
You got to get in touch with him, see if he wants to go get wings with you and me.
I will. If you're into it,
I would like a couple of friends.
Okay.
My only friends outside of Devin here are my neighbors. Vince and Bill, who are fucking cool as shit, but Bill's older and he's always busy with his church. And then Vince teaches school, so he's got a family and all their family lives close. So I get to hang out with them some, but you know,
well,
not that much. But yeah, Judge, I would love to have a
Judge. I'll get you in with the judge, and then also I got another invite to a bourbon club.
Can I go with
you? Yeah, I was going to say, I'm going to ask Toby to come. Bourbon club.
I'd love to join a bourbon club.
I mean, it's just at a guy's house at the lake.
At the lake?
It's he wants to do like a bourbon thing. You buy expensive bourbon and you try it.
So you have to put in like 10 years to start getting the invites, is what you're telling Lunsford. Yeah. It's like, you got to put in your time, but it'll pay off. And if you're in Salt Lake, if you get plugged into the social pipeline where the elites are in Salt Lake, you can imagine it might take 10 years of investment. But if you get there, you'll be plugged in.
Your elites will be like mega American elites.
Well, our neighbor's in the back alley. He's a state congressman and attorney. And then we got a cop. We got pilots. We got a couple pilots, mostly retired people. But I got some status around here. But
it's connection.
But what do they think of you?
Well, what I'm saying. It can't be low. So here is the way in to do something bad together. We did meet a couple in an alley a few houses away, and we were able to decipher that we both drink throughout a course of a conversation.
Well, drinking is one of the typical ways people signal like camaraderie. That's the easiest.
Sure.
But it's the lowest brow. Well, I mean, drugs is the lowest brow. But
here it's more. In Nashville, it was understood.
Right. Yes.
That was base level. Here it is not base level because we were talking to a different neighbor who are Mormon. They're very nice. They're Mormon. They definitely don't drink or curse or anything. And those other people were there, and we were able somehow to work out that each other were like not
that's
Mormon.
Good. That's a connection. That's
and then
connection.
Mentioned somehow cocktail came up, and they're like, we should do cocktails sometime at the house. Yep. You know, that type of thing. So that might be something. And that could go rapid.
Yeah.
If you're drinking in a neighbor, you know, nobody on my street drinks.
If you can find the sin pipeline.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
But staying out of the swinger scene unless you want to find it. You have to navigate that line of the
but if you get in the
underground,
Mormon,
Salt Lake underground.
That you got to get in the Mormon pipeline for that though.
Yeah.
So that's the non-drinking pipeline.
Okay. So I don't understand the social landscape there, but the Salt Lake underground sounds exciting and seedy.
Yeah, it's very
cool. Lunsford's going to be the ringleader.
You know.
Oh. Well, we had some other stuff to talk about. I guess how much time we got?
Yeah, we didn't get to it. We can talk about it on the part two. And
fucking list.
It's a good segue because if you're listening to this podcast, we do this whole show and then we do the whole second half, which is just as long, for Emeryland folks. And so if you're not a part of Emeryland, you should join right now. You can go to emerymusic.com to join. You get all kinds of benefits.
Emery.land, ain't it?
Yeah, well, it says go to emerymusic.com, but maybe emery.land,
either one
too.
You can take.
I don't know. Yeah.
Maybe.
Go to any of them. I don't know. Try them all. I'm not really sure. I don't really keep up with our business very well. It's always kind of second in my mind, third, fourth in my mind. So I don't know about our websites, but what I do know is you get a whole nother episode.
Right now.
Right now. You get access to all Emery's music, all the new stuff. I've been talking about it. We're working on trying to get the mix done right now for our covers EP that we're going to give to the Emerylanders. You should join right now. Another part, too, is you even get your name read, which I'll read in a minute. But you get any new clubbers, you'll get your name read on the podcast. But first of all, we're headed to Texas this week. Mm-hmm. We will be September 14th. We'll be in Oklahoma, actually. Tulsa at the Vanguard, September 15th, we'll be in Dallas at Trees, which we haven't, I guess Trees is the main place now, right? Because everything else is kind of closed down.
It's a good venue. I like it.
September 16th, San Antonio, Vibes Event Center. September 17th, Houston at the Scout Bar. And September 18th, Austin at Come and Take It Live. That's gonna
also
be
at Ohio is for Lovers this weekend.
Oh, yeah. Ohio is for Lovers. So come see us. It's going to be really fun. And in Texas and Oklahoma, we'll be touring with Norma Jean, O Sleeper, Aaron Gillespie, and Soot Crit. So, check it out. We're also doing custom songs. They're on sale now. It's a good deal. Go to emerymusic.com to order. Basically, we write you a song. You can either send us lyrics or you can send us your story. Most people send their story, little, you know, how you met this person you were given the song to, what some memories you share. Yeah. And we turn it into a song, and it is great. It's one of my favorite things I get to do because my identity is not in the songs at all. It's just I get to take somebody's story and turn it into a song, and I just love it. So it's really great. It's very fun. And we are going to get pretty full up for Christmas, so order now. Usually Christmas is our biggest time to get these songs because people want to give them as gifts for Christmas presents. So sign up now. Go to emerymusic.com, order a custom song now. Marriage Supply. What if each of you could only describe Marriage Supply in one word, what would it be? Who wants to go first? Devin, one word, how would you describe Marriage Supply?
I'm going to say touch.
Touch, okay. Lunsford, what would you say?
Wet.
Wet. I love it.
Nice. That's good. That's good.
Carter, what would you say?
I'll combine the two with what I had on top of my head in the first place, which is lube.
Ooh, I like that one.
It's a wet touch.
Yeah. If I was going to, my word was throbbing.
Throbbing.
That's a good one.
When have y'all experienced throbbing in the last year? Like actual throb. What do you think about throbbing? Like, are you thinking about your wiener hard and throbbing?
Your head can throb.
Or your heart wiener. Throbbing?
I'm trying to think if anything else can throb. Like,
what is throbbing sexually?
Heart throb. Your heart throb.
Yeah, you're a heart throb, though. Somebody head, you like, you think. Yeah, but when you think about the word throbbing, and I'm talking about romantically, sexually, what is throbbing?
Like movement you can't control, kind of.
It's like wanting to bust out.
Yeah. I just picture this.
Just pulsating.
Pulsating.
Yeah.
Just gotta get
stop doing this. Grossing me out.
That's just.
Stop doing it.
It's your question.
No, what but is, throbbing feels like something that should be like your heart.
Yeah.
Like, right? Like,
well, yeah, but that's
not
excessive.
Out of control.
Well, slightly out of control, I think.
But y'all are talking. You think throbbing's your whole body, then, not a part of your body.
I think it could be a part.
Your head or your heart or your wiener or your clitoris.
Well, I bet we need to get a girl in here and ask her.
That is a great.
You can have a throbbing toe. It's possible.
Can a clitoris throb?
Yeah, it throbs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It can actually throb.
I think that's their whole thing.
Yeah, they throb.
Throbs.
I thought they just get kind of like hard.
They can throb.
Well, they do, but I think, you know, it's got some throbbing sensation there.
Yeah, it's like a. Blah, blah, blah. Like, you can feel your heartbeat in your clitoris.
Yeah, maybe.
If you say clitoris all the way instead of just clit, it's everybody's happy, right?
Yeah.
If you say clitoris, it sounds, that's all right.
Softer.
But if
you
say clit
clitoris?
Seems like...
I like clitoris.
Clitoris.
Clitoris clitoris? Clitoris.
I don't know.
Clitoris.
What was the Seinfeld episode? Dolores.
Dolores!
Dolores! All right. I said I would read the names. I don't know. Do y'all have any?
I got them.
You got the names pulled up?
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Well, it just so happens that the fans this week, it just coincided perfectly. This week, they want to let you know how the best way they think to make a new friend in your adult age.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So they have that, like, how to make a new friend. Okay.
All right. Up first, Jeremy Lye.
He says you should join a new club or an organization.
I agree. Straightforward.
Would y'all do that? Lunsford, like you were saying, is trying to connect. Would you join a club or an organization right now?
I mean, we started going to church.
That's kind of a
Yeah. But I thought about like maybe next summer I'll join like an adult baseball team or something. Maybe I've done that before. That's a club. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Common, you know, common ground.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Who's next?
Wesley Brewer.
Wesley says, just say yes. Like if something's going on, you say yes.
Just
to
say
it.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody's asking it. You to do something.
That's good.
Or yeah. If there's something like, hey, I got to go somewhere and do something. I'm just going to say yes to it and kind of just go from there.
So, yeah. That's a good philosophy.
That'll work.
Yep.
Ethan Swope.
Now this one I think applies to me, but could, you know, Lunsford, what you're going through right now too. Says, don't set your expectations too high or expect too much from one person. You know what I mean? Like, I gotta recognize that with Devin. I can't put all my eggs in Devin's basket, right? Well,
yeah.
He's one person, and that's not fair to Devin.
Yeah, because he has his eggs in 100 baskets.
100 baskets, and they're all judges and politicians.
Right. So don't put all, you know.
Right. So what am I doing? Right. He has 100 baskets. 100. He's got eggs.
He's got
eggs.
I tell you what, that is the problem with old friends. If you're bringing them into a distinguished group,
yeah,
because Toby knows too much about Devin, he can fuck your shit up. Like it's
a dynamic.
Yep.
All right, Clint, I think it's Bowles.
Yeah, Lunsford, this one's for you too. Be aware of cultural differences. You know what I mean? The Mormons, you got a lot of Mormons around. You got to really be aware. Like you're saying, a lot of Mormons don't drink, right?
They don't at all.
The alcohol in Salt Lake, it's less alcohol.
That's not really true anymore. For draft beers, they don't have high ABV draft beers, but you can get them in bottles and cans.
At a bar, you can get higher.
If you get it in a bottle. Yeah.
I remember we were there one time and we had to pay $1 with Colin to get into some bar.
Yeah.
So you could get regular ABV beers, right?
Yeah, it's different now.
That's funny. All right, last one. Alyssa Evans.
If you're in a good mood, just show it. Let people know that you're a good person. You know what I mean? Like you're fun.
Mm-hmm.
You're you know, DTF, whatever. You know what I mean?
Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah.
I mean, yeah, most of that stuff's just all up in your head.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I mean? You're just, it's just in your head. If you can get past that, you'll be good to go.
That judge knew what he was doing.
He knew what he was doing.
Working the crowd.
He ain't got nothing blocking him
from
connecting.
He's a judge, though. What do you think his house is like?
It's insane, but I think it's pretty nice.
He's probably a Monticello guy.
Yeah,
all the people that came were Monticello folks.
Yeah, I mean they're just whatever. Yeah. You know,
that's what I'm saying. If I would have came, I'm Champagne. They would look down on us. Monticello's like
they would look down.
Judges and politicians. It's the rich folks.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Where I live, I'm in the streets. All right, let's go to part two. You can listen to part two right now. All you got to do is go to emoryland.com, sign up for Emoryland, and you're going to get a lot of stuff. Go to emorymusic.com. I'm sorry.
Emorymusic.com.
Emorymusic.com. And the shit we're going to say in a minute, very.
You don't want to know it.
You don't want to fucking miss it.
Don't come.
Yeah, you better not.
You should.
That's what she
said. You shouldn't. We'll be over there. Some other people are there. You should not
come.
I don't want any pussies showing up.